Part 2. The Roots of Numerology. Number is the word, but is not utterance. It is wave and light, though no one sees it. It is rhythm and music, though no one hears it. Its variations are limitless, and yet it is immutable. Each form of life is a particular reverberation of number. Maurice Druon, The Memoirs of Zeus. It is not possible to read the numerologists for very long without discovering the importance which they attach to the term vibration. Quote, numerology is simply an extended study of vibration, and the numbers from 1 to 9 make a complete cycle of vibration. We live in a universe of vibrations, and every person coming into this world has a vibration peculiar to the individual that is distinct from others. Unquote. The theory of the vibrating universe became popular in occultism in the 19th century, following discoveries about the nature of light, electricity, and magnetism. In the early years of the century, physicists demonstrated that light moves in waves, and that electrical and magnetic impulses also travel in waves or undulations. At the same period, it was accepted that the molecules of all substances are in a state of constant oscillating movement. Building on these ideas, occultists developed the theory that everything in the universe is undulating or vibrating. Different things vibrate at different rates of speed, and the essential nature or character of each thing is determined by its rate of vibration, in the same way that the different colors which we see are determined by differing wavelengths of light. Although 19th century physics seemed to give some support to this theory, it really depends on an analogy with sound, and particularly with musical sound. The numerologist's universe is like a gigantic musical instrument which has innumerable strings. The strings vibrate at various rates. There are 9 basic rates of vibration, the 9 notes which the instrument sounds, to which the numbers from 1 to 9 are assigned. Each string of the instrument represents a person or a place or a thing. Each vibrates at its own speed, making its own small sound, which joins with the sounds of all the other strings, to produce the overall note which the universe is sounding at any given moment. A man's name reveals his characteristic note, because his name contains the essence of his being. But he is also profoundly affected by his birth date, because the universe's overall rate of vibration at the moment of his birth is indelibly stamped on his character and destiny. This picture of the universe has been taken up enthusiastically by modern occultists, but it is not new to occultism. It goes back ultimately to Pythagoras and the discovery of the ratios of musical intervals. Very little is known about Pythagoras. He was born on the island of Samos off Asia Minor, and he is supposed to have traveled in Egypt, Babylonia, and India, where he imbibed the ancient wisdom of the East. About 530 B.C., he founded a religious brotherhood and school of philosophy at Crotona, a Greek colony in southern Italy. The citizens of Crotona eventually grew irritated with Pythagoras and his disciples and expelled them. Pythagoras and his early followers wrote nothing which has survived. Pythagoras apparently believed in reincarnation, in which most modern numerologists have followed him, and several curious maxims, some of which suggest fears of hostile magic, are attributed to him. Spit on the cuttings of your nails and hair. When you get up, roll the bedclothes together and smooth out the place where you were lying. Do not wear a ring. Never step over a crossbar. Do not stir the fire with a sword. Help a man who is loading, but not one who is unloading. When you put your shoes on, begin with the right foot, but when you wash your feet, begin with the left foot. My own favorite is, be not possessed by irrepressible mirth. It may have been Pythagoras himself who discovered that the musical intervals known in his time, the octave, the fifth, and the fourth, can be expressed in terms of ratios between the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. The pitch of a note depends on the length of the string producing it. Take a string, stop it, and sound a note. Then double the length of string which you are sounding, and the new note will be the octave of the original note. The octave can therefore be expressed as a ratio of 2 to 1. Similarly, the ratio of the fifth is 3 to 2, and the ratio of the fourth is 4 to 3. The early Greek philosophers were concerned to find some principle of order in a universe which seemed chaotic. The discovery about the musical intervals may have suggested to the Pythagoreans that the principle of order was mathematical. If the relationships of notes in the musical scale can be simply expressed in terms of numbers, then perhaps all the bewildering and apparently disorderly phenomena of the universe can be reduced to numerical terms. This was the view of the universe which the Pythagoreans held, according to Aristotle, quote, "such and such a modification of numbers being justice, another being soul and reason, another being opportunity, and similarly almost all other things being numerically expressible," unquote. Expanding on this, Nicomachus, a Pythagorean of the 1st century A.D., explained that the universe is constructed to a numerical pattern. Quote, "All that has by nature with systematic method been arranged in the universe seems, both in part and as a whole, to have been determined and ordered in accordance with number, by the forethought and the mind of him that created all things. For the pattern was fixed like a preliminary sketch by the domination of number pre-existent in the mind of the world-creating God, number conceptual only and immaterial in every way, but at the same time the true and eternal essence, so that with reference to it, as to an artistic plan, should be created all these things, time, motion, the heavens, the stars, all sorts of revolutions," unquote. The theory that all the phenomena of the universe are connected together in a great design or pattern is one of the fundamental assumptions of magic. The belief that this pattern is numerical is the foundation of numerology. When the magical theory that the name of a thing enshrines its essential nature is added, plus a method of translating names into numbers, the basic skeleton of numerology as a key to the mysteries of the universe is complete. The numbers which determine the musical intervals are the first 4 whole numbers, and together they produce 10. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10. In Pythagorean theory, the numbers up to 10 are the essential numbers. Once you count beyond 10, you are using the same basic numbers over again. This must have seemed obvious to primitive people who counted on their fingers. The fact that 10 is produced by 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 leads to the conclusion that these 4 numbers are the origin and basis of all numbers and are therefore the basis of everything in the universe. This is confirmed when the basis of the construction of all solid objects is found in the same 4 numbers. 1 is assigned to the point, which theoretically has no dimension. 2 to the line, connecting 2 points, which has length but not breadth. 3 to the triangle, connecting 3 points, which has length and breadth, but not thickness. When a 4th point is added above the triangle, and 4 points are connected, the simplest solid body, the tetrahedron, has been constructed. Eliphas Levi's remark in his Doctrine and Ritual, that the first 4 numbers are, quote, "the source of all numerical combinations and the principle of all forms," unquote, is pure Pythagoreanism. 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the basis of the numerical pattern which underlies the universe, or, to put it more poetically, they are eternal nature's fountain spring, which was an epithet the Pythagoreans applied to a figure called the Tetractys, which they held in great awe and veneration. It looked like this. See diagram number 1. The Tetractys is a simple demonstration that 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10. It is an example of a primitive way of representing numbers, by pebbles or by dots, as they are still shown on dice. This way of showing numbers accounts for a great deal of ancient and modern numerological theory. The Pythagoreans, like other Greek thinkers, were struck by the existence of pairs of opposites in the universe, and believed that these opposites were an important factor in the universe's construction. This belief has been transmitted intact to modern numerologists, and the major characteristics which they assign to the numbers fit neatly into a table of opposites. 1. Active, purposeful, powerful, unsympathetic, leading, innovating. Opposite 2. Passive, receptive, weak, sympathetic, subordinate. 3. Brilliant, gay, artistic, lucky, easy success. Opposite 4. Plodding, dull, uncreative, unlucky, hard work and failure. 5. Versatile, adventurous, nervous, uncertain, sexuality. Opposite 6. Simple, placid, domestic, settled, mother love. 7. Withdrawal from the world, mystery, secret. Opposite 8. Worldly involvement, material success or failure. 9. Mental and spiritual achievement. It is also clear that the odd numbers have much the more interesting and exciting characteristics. Against the driving force of 1, the brilliance and luck of 3, the adventurous versatility of 5, the wisdom of 7, and the achievement of 9, the even numbers are a poor-spirited crew. This distribution of characteristics is another inheritance from the Greeks. The Pythagoreans listed 10 fundamental pairs of opposites existing in the universe. Among these pairs were odd and even, one and many, right and left, male and female, good and evil. 1, right, male, and good were associated with odd numbers, many, left, female, and evil with even numbers. When numbers are represented by dots, it is obvious that the odd numbers are male and the even numbers female. 3, 5, 7, and 9 appear as see diagram number 2. 2, 4, 6, and 8 are shown as see diagram number 3. It is immediately clear that, to use the polite language of Plutarch, the odd numbers have a generative middle part, while in each even number there is a certain receptive opening and, as it were, a space within itself. The masculinity of the phallic odd numbers is borne out by the fact that they are stronger than the even numbers. If an even number is split in 2, nothing but empty space is left. An odd number cannot be reduced to nothing so easily. A dot is left in the middle. And when odd and even numbers mingle together in addition, the odd master the even because the result or progeny is always an odd number. Obviously, odd numbers are male, thrusting and dominating, and even numbers are female, receptive and passive. The principles of numerology were worked out in ancient and medieval societies in which man was dominant, woman subordinate. The result is that the odd numbers have a near monopoly of vigorous, creative, and admirable characteristics. Another product of man-dominated societies is the identification of man with good and woman with evil. The Pythagoreans said that the female even numbers are evil because they can easily be reduced to nothingness, empty space, the primeval chaos in which the world was formed. The biblical commentator Hugh of St. Victor, writing in the 12th century, took the general medieval view that even numbers stand for things which are inwardly empty and valueless, the corruptible and transitory, the things of this world. Two modern American occultists, H.A. and F.H. Curtis, echo the same theory for the same reason. Quote, odd numbers are sacred because when we attempt to divide them into equal parts, they leave the monad, or one god, standing unaffected between them. Thus they reveal the supreme deity in the midst of his works. Unquote. F. Homer Curtis was the founder of the Order of Christian Mystics, or Order of the 15, and also of the Fellowship of the Wisdom Religion.